Welcome to the Adult Cannabis Enthusiast Podcast, a place for mature conversations about cannabis, pop culture, and everything in between. My name's Joel, and I'm the host of the show. If you're wondering about my cannabis credentials, I've been consuming cannabis for roughly 25 years using a variety of different consumption methods. I've been a medical cannabis patient for roughly the past 2 years. I like to dabble a little bit with cannabis infusions, making edibles, and putting cannabis into various kinds of oil. And I've also got a 70-episode archive where you can hear my varying thoughts on cannabis. If you're looking to reach out to me on social media, I can be reached on both Twitter and Instagram at @acannabispod, though Twitter is generally a safer place to get in touch with me because the Instagram account has been relatively dormant. I'm sitting here recording the 71st episode of the Adult Cannabis Enthusiast Podcast on the 19th of April in 2022. So I'm sitting here recording this episode on the day before 420, and I couldn't be more excited to be here. If you're new to the show, welcome. I'm really thrilled to have you here and happy that you decided to stop by and check out what's going on with the Adult Cannabis Enthusiast Podcast. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I cannot express enough how much I appreciate the folks who are listening to the show and interact with me on social media. It's really great, and I'm really thrilled that you decided to stick around. It has definitely been more than a minute since I've recorded the last episode. I believe the last time I was recording was around the middle of July in 2021. At that time, the podcast had been on a brief 2-month hiatus, and I went through the last episode kind of outlining what had been going on with me, some of the kinds of cannabis I'd been enjoying, and what had gotten me through the challenging times I was facing. At the time, I was optimistic that I would be able to start recording again and keep the show going, but unfortunately, life events conspired against me, and I haven't been able to sit down and record until now. There actually wasn't anything bad going on in my life. It was what I would like to call good stress, between a work promotion, managing a school-aged child during the pandemic, getting a dog, and settling into a new house after you've moved and unpacking and all that stuff. It really takes up a lot of your time and energy. And between that and everything else that's going on in the world, it didn't really seem like a good use of my time or energy to continue to force to do this podcast if my head really wasn't in it. I don't feel like it's worth your time or mine to kind of half-ass things and just put things out for the sake of creating content. I want to make it meaningful and useful for folks. The timing seemed to fit right. I had a little bit of time off work right now around the 420 holidays. It seemed like a good time to reconnect with the community, get a little bit more active on the social media account, and record an episode. Really, there's been stuff that has been rattling around in my head the last little while as I've been somewhat checking in on the cannabis community and the cannabis industry. And I've had these occasional bursts of time where I'm like, I want to get out and record something, but then something happens. Like there's an occupation in Ottawa or there's a war breaking out that really just like, it doesn't seem like the right time. But we're the day before 420, and for me, it seems like a good time to come back and do a recording. So I'm really stoked to be here. I'm not going to make any promises that this is going to be a continuing thing. But one of the reasons I wanted to record another episode was that I didn't like how I left things hanging last July. I left the impression that things were going to continue on, and I just kind of dropped off the face of the earth, aside from the occasional check-in on Twitter. So this is my mea culpa, my way of at least coming back and doing something. And if I don't record anything further from here, at least I've kind of come back and had a chance to check in and say goodbye and talk about some things that have happened recently. Now, in my absence, a lot of things have been going on in the cannabis community, and I think it would be a little bit redundant for me to kind of go down a list of things that have happened in the last 9 months. But given the history of the podcast, there's a couple of things of note that I feel like I should comment on, in particular, the closure of a couple of the medical cannabis providers in Shelter Market and CanMart. Now, both of those providers have been mentioned on the show in the past, Shelter Market in a positive light, CanMart sometimes positive, sometimes negative. But it's a really sad day for cannabis patients when access to quality or affordable cannabis is limited. Fortunately, CanMart and Shelter Market both funneled their patients to a new provider, Mendo Cannabis. So things kind of worked out in the end, but it looks like there may be some challenges dealing with the growers and the other folks who are connected to these organizations who, are dealing with the challenges of what happens when a business closes. So it's really unfortunate that things played out the way they did. There was a lot of great people who worked for Shelter Market, and it's really unfortunate that they're losing their livelihoods. We've also seen a lot of new products come out over the course of the last 9 months. We're seeing things like infused pre-roll show up now. I managed to get my hands on some moon rocks. I don't know that I would ever do it again, but I thought, hey, I want to try it. So there's all kinds of new products coming out on the market. Blunts seem to be a lot more prevalent than they used to be. A lot of exciting things and new things to try. There's not really any products that I want to highlight in a really significant way. I kind of want to keep this show very community focused as opposed to the cannabis industry. So while I may talk from time to time about some of the things I'm enjoying, it's really not the intent of the show. I don't know that you'll ever see a real detailed review by me anymore. Products are just too inconsistent and it's hard to really put your stamp of approval on something. But I might say today I'm enjoying this or something to that kind of effect. But a couple of the products that I have been enjoying over the past 9 months, I will cop to having been doing a lot more combustion than I used to. So I've been diving into a lot more pre-rolls, mostly as a means to kind of sample products that I'm not really willing to invest a lot of money in an eighth on. I find that's sometimes a good way to check things out. And honestly, my local dispensary has some pretty good deals and I'll pick up a few things that way. So pre-rolls have been kind of high on my list, but nothing really overly stand out there that I think is worthy of mentioning. I've definitely been diving into a lot more hash. There's hash all over the place and it's so fantastic. I mean, there's been some excellent hash on the market and I've been really privileged to enjoy a lot of it. So hash has really worked its way into my rotation in a big way. Really, really chill vibe and really suits what I'm kind of looking for in a cannabis experience. Some of the flower that I've been enjoying over this time probably isn't too much of a big surprise. There's not been a lot that's really been standout. We do have limited offerings that we have access to here in Saskatchewan. However, I have been able to try the platinum grapes and from Organicraft and the orange tings from Pistol in Paris, which I'm told is grown by J Buds. Both of those products, it's not a surprise. Everyone on cannabis Twitter seems to be talking about it. They're really great and I've enjoyed those too. Those are probably two of the standouts that I've had over the last little while, at least from the recreational market. In terms of the medical market, I recently renewed my medical prescription and I adjusted where I was sending my prescription to. The last time I did it, I split it up amongst a ton of LPs and I actually reduced my cannabis prescription this time around. I've been consuming less, so I haven't needed as much. So I dropped it a little bit and I split my prescription four ways this time. So I'm currently with North 40 Cannabis, which is probably my favorite of the bunch. Lots of folks on cannabis Twitter and some of the online forums know about the love of North 40 and the fantastic cannabis that Gord grows. Really down with that kind of stuff. I'm also with Mendo Medical Cannabis, which is where my Shelter Market and Kenmart stuff got pushed to. I've only had one order from them, but it seems pretty solid and I look forward to trying more in the future. I've also with Shoppers Drug Mart, and that's just for a bit of a variety access and to get some of those value Pure Sun Farm ounces. Those are definitely a go-to in my rotation, particularly the Pink Kush and the Black Cherry Punch from them. Other than that, I am finally with Green Tech Cannabis as well. I've been with them for over a year, so I guess finally isn't necessarily an accurate description. But what I like about Green Tech is not only do they have some of their own great products, but they've been bringing in stuff like Organicraft and Cake and Caviar. Cake and Caviar used to be known as Habitat, and that was a place that Cam and I got to visit in August of 2020. So if you look in the archives, there's an episode that refers to that. So really excited to be able to try all of these products on the medical market. So far, I've been enjoying what I've been getting, and I'm pretty satisfied with the way that I split my prescription this time around. So I guess we should start talking about the subject that I wanted to address today. And this is really kind of the impetus of why I wanted to record something, because recently there was a pretty heavy discussion on cannabis Twitter about influencers. And this is something that I've had rattling around in my brain for a while. And back when this was a two-host show, it was a topic that I felt that we would always get to. And unfortunately, we never did in the time that Cam was still around on the show. But it's something that I still think is important. And I've been spending my time since this Twitter conversation or thread kind of blew up. And I've been trying to think and connect the dots about why there is this negativity or this bad vibes toward influencers. And I've been trying to process it because I think even myself, I don't want to say that I've adopted a real negative opinion of influencers, but when I think of that word, I think of it in a real negative context. So I would like to make a bit of a differentiation, and I think someone else on Twitter was already using this as a way, so I don't want to claim it as my own or something original. But I feel like in my head, I separate the terms content creator and influencer. For whatever reason, if they may be interchangeable in one fashion or another. And I think what we're talking about here really is the value that individual, group, account, what have you, is bringing to the community as a whole. And what that perceived value is whether you look at something as content creation or a influencer in the pejorative sense. And I think that is where a lot of people lie and where a lot of that kind of dislike comes from. But I think it also crosses over with people's preferences, because there are plenty of content creators in the cannabis space, in the cannabis community, whose content I do not enjoy. And I'm not going to sit here and slag people off and say, oh, I don't like your content, or I do like yours, or something like that. The fact of the matter is the cannabis community is incredibly diverse, and each pocket of the community is not for everyone. There are pockets of the cannabis community that should be safe spaces for women, for transgendered folks, for people of color. This is very important to have. And it's okay that there's content out there that isn't created for me or for you. That's fine. That can exist in the space and be okay. And there's no reason to adopt a negative attitude toward it, because we can just ignore the things that aren't important. Now, I think that in some cases, there are people who see harms from that. And I have a bit of an issue with that. And this is something that I struggled with too, as someone who's a longtime cannabis consumer, in that we really want our culture and our cannabis use to be destigmatized. But at the same time, we are reluctant to turn over the keys to the general public to have access to our culture, because there's concerns about it being co-opted. Unfortunately, the cat is out of the bag, my friends. There is no way for us to keep control of our culture and have access to that destigmatization. Those two things, I feel like, are in direct conflict, and we have to work at least within our own minds and maybe do a little bit of self-reflection about these kinds of things. Because if we want to be negative towards some content creation and be like, oh, they're just an influencer, I feel like it's important to do that self-check and go, is it just that I'm not into the content that they're producing? Or is it that I have a negative opinion because I don't see that they're doing anything of value? And anything of value doesn't mean just for you. I think it's interesting too, the way that some people look at it. I think influencer or influence really is about the impact that you can have, whether on people's opinions or ideas or things that they want to try and do, right? And marketing and industry wants to use that to be able to get people to buy products and sell things. I feel like that corporate sales sell aspect is a big barrier for the content creation, for people to be in that and see them as influencers. Because if your content is solely being created for, let's say, corporate cannabis, or to direct people to buy or direct people to sell, that's simply the way things are. All that means is that it's not genuine content. And I feel that's an area where I struggle with, because I want to connect with people in the cannabis and see cool things and see whether or not it's of interest to me. There has to be some kind of value behind it. There has to be something that somebody is bettering from it. And if it's just telling people about a product or selling a product under the guise of a fun and quirky account or something like that, I think a lot of people are able to see through that kind of stuff. I think there's also a weird culture in some of the social media spaces where we're all kind of clapping seals on things. So, you know, we're liking and responding, so people will like and respond to us, and we'll all like and respond together, and it'll be a big, fun, happy kumbaya experience where we all become famous for our content because we all like each other. Seems really bizarre to me. And that this might be the cynic in me or the fact that I'm an older dude, but I have a hard time buying into that kind of culture. I want to have authentic, genuine connections with people. So in the future on this show, trust me when I say that I'm going to be very cautious about how I connect with the cannabis industry. That's something that I've struggled with in the past, and I want to make sure that what I'm doing is genuine and authentic and not performative and ignoring things that are important. So I think overall, whether or not the content is genuine helps drive the way whether you see something or someone as a content creator or as an influencer. And the degree of influence you have is relative. There are a lot of us who are active on social media, like on Twitter, on Instagram, Reddit, wherever that people are getting their cannabis information from. But retailers are constantly thumping the message that the folks who are online and vocal about cannabis are a small minority. We're probably spending a lot of money, even though we're a small minority, but we're not the everyday folk that they're seeing in their store constantly who's detailing. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that there are lots of casual folks who are getting to know cannabis and learning about it, and their real experience is happening when they're going into stores, right? And they're seeing people. they may not be connecting to the online community. They're just walking in and purchasing stuff from bud tenders. And that's something I've seen in the cannabis space. A lot of marketers, retail owners, and people who work in the industry have gone on record as saying the real influencers in the cannabis space are the bud tenders. And I get that position, but let me do a bit of a comparison for you. I feel like bud tenders are influencers in the cannabis space in the same way that your grocery store produce guy influences you to buy vegetables. Now, to use this analogy, let's think about your produce guy. He may know a little bit of information about some exotic vegetables from a faraway land that you've never heard about and be able to add that beautiful flavor to that dish that you want. Or he might just hand you a pile of wilted romaine lettuce. That's the same kind of activity that's happening with bud tenders. There are phenomenal bud tenders, and I don't mean to generalize, because there are great bud tenders that I interact with in the cannabis space who know their stuff, work really hard, spend a lot of their hard-earned money on cannabis, and do their best to educate consumers. Same thing for retailers. There's retailers out there who do that exact same thing. People who are creating fun and exciting events and using their time with their clients to educate them. And for those folks, I salute you. But at the same time, there is a challenge with it due to the nature of the work. It's a entry-level retail position, often a bud tender role. I think it's a challenge to have people be as excited about cannabis as folks who kind of live and breathe it, because for some people, it's just going to be a job. So you may get someone who's that phenomenal bud tender who really knows their stuff and really wants to go that extra mile to educate you and find you that excellent experience. But you could also get the clerk who's just like, oh, I don't know, man, this is an indica and it'll get you high. It's 27% THC. And then you look and it was packaged in 2020. So I feel like it's really hit or miss. I understand the idea that the bud tenders are influencers because they are directly having the contact with the public and their recommendations can directly influence purchases. But another potential argument is, where are the most bud tenders getting their information? I think a lot of that pumping of the tires of bud tenders as influencers has to do with the fact that the marketers, the retailers, and the LPs have direct access to them and can provide them the information that they would like to share. I would argue that some of the better bud tenders are ones who do their research online and actually connect with the community, because again, given the kind of work that they do, it's a challenge for them to even be able to afford the cannabis that they're selling, which is really kind of outrageous. And I say this in a way not to disparage people who work retail or who have minimum wage jobs. I spent a ton of time in my early career in retail, and it is a hard job. So I have nothing but empathy for the folks who are working there. Outside of the community online, I can't say that I've ever had a overly positive experience where I've had that person who wants to educate me or provide me good information. Although I will acknowledge that I may be somewhat of a hostile customer because I tend to know what I want already. So all of that being said, I think there's room for more discussion about influencers and how they connect with bud tenders and what level of influence they have, and maybe some of the problems with that kind of an analysis or point of view. For me though, I really think influencing in the cannabis space is something that's not going away. Social media is here to stay until we have some kind of technological disaster, because I just don't see that performative nature of things changing. It's a way for businesses to access people. And I think there's always going to be that element of negativity when content isn't viewed as genuine. It's maybe viewed as being kind of corporate or sales, or maybe it's just plain content that people don't like or aren't interested in and have a hard time seeing the value that it might have for other people. Really, from my own personal perspective, I think there's a lot of great influencers in the community who maybe don't have stuff that I'm interested in, but still find their market and their niche and then use their way to help promote cannabis as medicine, cannabis as a positive thing. So I think overall, we have to look at it from the mindset that this is part of our destigmatization. This is part of our entry into mainstream society. We're going to lose some of our rough edges. We're going to lose some of the things that we like, but those changes are going to help bring a broader perspective. And these, quote, influencers are the ones who are going to help spread the message around. So let's help support the ones that we think are good, the content that we like, and if we don't like it, fuck it, we won't listen to it. So thanks for checking back in with me on episode 71 of the Adult Cannabis Enthusiast Podcast. I really had a blast stepping behind the mic again and getting to record something for everyone. I'm really not going to make any promises about the future because I'm not sure what it's going to hold for me. My work and family life remains hectic, but having a little bit of time right now, the day before 420, to get to record something is really a gift. So again, if you want to reach out to me on social media, acannabispod on Twitter is probably the best place, but there is an Instagram account out there as well. There's a deep 70-episode archive of content about cannabis, great conversations that my ex-host Cam and I had together, and a few things that I did with myself. I would definitely highlight the interview I did with Leaf Debrief as an episode I particularly enjoyed if you're looking for something. Other than that, I just want to wish you all a happy 420. If you're listening to this on 420 itself, I hope you have a wonderful day. There's even an old episode that we talk about 420 origin stories. For me, 420 is all about the community, appreciating cannabis, the people that I got to experience cannabis and the wonders of the community. So I really hope you have a wonderful day. If you're coming back to the show, I'm really happy that you've stuck around and hung out amongst my 9-month absence. And if you're new, I'm really glad to see you, and I hope you stick around and check things out in the archive. Otherwise, I'll see you around on social media. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next time.